ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Early in Lakeeta Williams' career, she saw her workplace values in big, bold letters, literally.
I can exactly remember in the lunchroom, the values were listed, and it was about 13, Lisa, so like a lot of values. Listed all the way across. We talked about it a little bit through the hiring and onboarding process. And then as I continued to grow into in the company, I went to supervision, eventually management. They never came up again. We were never encouraged to talk to our teams about it. Leaders never talked to me about it.
And it was only later in her career, when she was in a different job at a different company, that she saw an example of when organizational values are done well.
And it really highlighted for me that this was a huge gap. This is a huge opportunity that most places are missing.
And yeah. Was there a difference in the vibe of each of those companies then?
1,000%. 1,000%. And I will say, also a difference in their results, Lisa. So one is a major company that is growing and expanding, and the other one is static and kind of stuck where they are and also has a difficult time attracting talent.
So why do organizations even need to have values?
Okay, I'm going to nutshell this, Lisa, for you, the TLDR first.
And is it a problem when we don't even know what they are?
80% of organizations have values. Only 23% of people feel like that they can apply them. And it's probably around the same amount who actually know what the values are.
The other thing is, once people are actually in the door, it cannot be a, you're in now, we'll just see if you sink or swim. It is an active process of actually cultivating that alignment over time.
I'm Lisa Leong, and in this episode of This Working Life, we're exploring what role values play in our jobs, from how to identify them.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay. Who is someone you admire?
To what happens when our values are misaligned with our work.
Oh, bad things happen, Lisa. I feel unfulfilled and a sense of there has to be more than this.
And you'll get some practical tips on how to make values tangible.
Working agreements take our values from something that's here, it might be one word, and we make it really practical.
First though, I'd like you to meet Greta Bradman.
I'm a psychologist and CEO founder at The Compass AI.
Greta is obsessed with values. It started for her in her psychology practice dealing with individual values, and it spread out from there.
Spread like topsy. I joined the dots around, for starters, be it in psychology, clinical psychology, coaching psychology, organisational psychology, more broadly within the organisation, more broadly within the coaching practice. We're not fully taking the time to understand what values are and therefore what they can do in an individual setting, in an organisational setting.
And Greta used to be a singer, a soprano to be exact. And she says when she was performing, she actually felt misaligned with one of her core values, which is achieve together.
I love singing. But singing as a sort of quote-unquote diva, like the front person, released solo albums, did the whole touring thing, sang in operas, etc. And as that front person, as that kind of principal soprano, I was always kind of isolated in my achievement, in my experience. So on the one hand, the moments of making music, I felt a sense of satisfaction because there was a connection with the orchestra, a connection with colleagues. But there was always a sense of me being different and somehow disconnected. I was a freelance soprano, so there was always that sense of separation. That gap between my value of achieve together and my experience as it was represented suffering. And that's the way that I conceptualize it for people. So where you have a value that is deeply important to you, It represents a driver, you know, a deep sort of schematic influence need that you have. When you're not living in line with that, it doesn't mean that it's not real. It represents a suffering.
Now, interestingly, did you even know that that was a value at the time, or is it through these experiences when you are feeling misaligned that you actually shine a light on what your true values are?
Correct. Absolutely. It was through that process that I came to recognize, and through active intentional values work, that I came to recognize that achieve together is a value of mine, that it is necessary in order to fulfill my needs associated with that value.
Okay. How does one get to these values? Because it sounds like it's pretty important that we do identify our individual values.
I believe that it is, and that goes for life and in work. Either way, it's really important to, I think, begin with identifying and getting familiar with your individual values. So I believe that it's most helpful for us to think about uncovering one most important group of values that tends to have an impact on how we evaluate, interpret, and respond to the world that transcends life domain. So be we at work or be we, you know, in our family environment. And the way that we prioritize our values, that can change from situation to situation. And there might be certain commonalities between how we prioritize values, say, in the work domain.
Why are values then important at work?
Oh my goodness. Values, okay, I'm going to nutshell this, Lisa, for you, the TLDR first. Values unlock performance. Values are not just nice to haves. They unlock performance. They mitigate burnout. They are really a panacea to quote unquote quiet quitting. They enable people to show up and connect with their work and find meaning in their work. And that's not to say that someone necessarily, you know, lands the dream job. It's about actually uncovering meaning in the work that you are already doing and going looking for that sense of meaning and purpose.
So how can this work with organisational values, Greta?
So in the organisational context, when you think about an individual, right, coming to an organisation, coming with their own evaluative framework as a function of their values, of what they kind of prioritise, of what they need, and thinking about how, say, I, as someone who, you know, is all about achieve together as well as creativity, my values are going to have an impact on how not only I evaluate the world, but how I evaluate and think about prioritising the organisational values.
Mm.
But in the organisational context, in terms of what those organisational values do for an organisation, they help humanise the organisation. They help people connect with that organisation. It creates a sense of, you know, when there is alignment between organisations and organisations' values and the behaviour within that organisation, it cultivates trust and even helps people love that organisation. It also enables the right people to be attracted.
Who's picking the values for an organisation then? Are we all picking them?
Oh, that's such a great question. And, you know, in this day and age, a lot of organisations already have values. The question is, are they working for the organisation?
Now, before we get to the issue of how to make organisational values actually work for an organisation, let's figure out how to identify our individual values first, the ones that Greta says transcends all of life's domains. Is there a useful question or way in which we can sort through our values when, because we might be quite used to covering at work, we might not even know what our deeper values are, Greta?
Yeah, so true. And it's a process. It is a process. Some of the questions that are most useful are questions like, for instance, what brings you joy when you're at work? And what values might be associated with that? To use an expression of my son, what shakes your beans at school? You know, I love that. Mum, it really shakes my beans.
That's gorgeous.
But to really look at what are those things that creates a sense of or elicits a negative emotional response, you know, creates a sense of maybe outrage or maybe disappointment, whatever that negative response is, and to look at what are the values that might stand in conflict with what is most important to you, you know, that was kind of demonstrated in that moment. One example in the workplace is where someone, for instance, is taking the praise of something that was really a group effort. And that idea of, for me, achieve together, that shakes my beans because of the importance of collaboration within that sphere of achievement.
So then what would be a deeper question around curiosity to elicit that value?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay. My question for you, and this does go to curiosity, but I'm going to get there through sort of a two-step process. Who is someone you admire
My dad.
Tell me about your dad.
So he always sees the positive in things no matter what happens. For example, he actually had a stroke as soon as he retired. And what he wrote was, I was so lucky that I had a stroke when I retired because I'd finished work, so I didn't have any work to have to do. And I also had a stroke when, internet and computers were here. He's an architect, and so he could use computers to continue his creativity. So he's positive, creative, and also, yeah, just a really humble human being who's always looking out for others.
I mean, you've practically answered my next question, but I think there's a little bit more to it, and that is, what are the values that for you really stand out through your dad?
Humility, equanimity, and, yeah, that he is also a positive person, so always looking on the bright side.
Tell me about the relationship between that positivity and the other value, which I heard coming through in there, which was gratitude.
Oh, yeah, I think, you know, he had a difficult upbringing, so a poor village boy who really focused on education and then looked for all the gratitude in his schooling and the gratitude in his family, which allowed him to come to Australia in high school. Gratitude for Australia, for Melbourne, for the peaceful nature of our home, and then that became gratitude that we all have.
And when thinking about getting curious about those values that you've just been talking to, so equanimity, positivity, gratitude, although I kind of led you to that one a little bit, what do you think is the value amongst that bunch that brings up the greatest positive response, that sort of emotional response for you?
Do you know, it was actually that gratitude. I think that leads to positivity, doesn't it? That finding the sunshine is the way I put it. So I tend to, even though I see the darkness, I'm able to find the crack where the light gets in, Leonard Cohen. And I think that is actually a gratitude practice. Just I'm quite used to mumbling to myself as I walk down the hallways. Oh, I'm so grateful, you know, riding my bike. I'm very grateful for this pathway. You know, I just kind of look for those things. So maybe that's something in there that you've unearthed.
This process, I love that, Lisa. This process of getting curious and, you know, being the curious scientist without judgment and just asking yourself a series of these questions can be really helpful. For instance, you know, looking at those people that you admire, it might be someone who you know well, it might be someone you have never met.
And Greta, going through that process, it's really helpful because it's a process that we can use to help another person find their values. It's just having that conversation and really asking beautiful questions like you did.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do our personal values then relate to our professional life values? Can we be explicit on that?
They are one and the same. There is no personal values and professional values, because that implies, that dichotomization implies, that these are things that are superimposed on us, that exist somehow separate from us or in a way that is necessarily constrained to a concept, rather than recognizing what we know from value science about what they are, which are complex concepts that are bundles of beliefs from past experience, current needs and future goals and aspirations. They elicit an emotional response when they're activated. That emotion feels great. It's a positive response when there is values congruence with what we either witness or the behaviour that we participate in. It's a negative response when there's a values incongruence, or where we see something, or indeed when we do something that is incongruent with those values that we prioritise the most.
But even if we can name our own values or those of our workplace, there's still a disconnect for many of us as to how to actually use these values in our day-to-day work.
The gap is usually associated with the fact that they're not even practical outside of, let's just say, the boardroom or the C-suite.
That's Lakeeta Williams, founder and CEO of Co-Create Work, a workplace culture consultancy in America.
So we'll have a value. We see integrity a lot, but no one quite knows how to apply them. There's no definition or connection to them. So that is one of the main things that drives the disconnect there.
Lakita uses what she calls workplace agreements to put workplace values into action.
Working agreements take our values from something that's here, it might be one word, and we make it really practical. So instead of saying one of our values is integrity, we'll say one of our working agreements is that we prioritize integrity. And that means that we put the customer first, we're honest in our communication. It just helps us to have a clear definition together about what our agreements and our values actually stand for.
Okay, so walk me through the process of creating a workplace agreement.
Yeah, so typically we'll do these in sessions. And so we'll bring together a group of team members or leaders or folks across the company. And they'll think about, okay, what are our values and what do these values mean to us? We ask them to create or tell some of the stories that stand behind what those values might be or what they might mean. And then they write that definition out. From there, we encourage them to think about how they want to integrate them really into the culture. And that's a key piece. We have groups who use those agreements for hiring. We also say at our team meetings, share the agreements you're prioritizing this week. Are there any agreements that would have helped you if you ran into a barrier or an issue? So you really make them active and use them on a weekly, daily basis.
And just to clarify, is it an agreement per value?
Yes, absolutely. So if you have values already and you're an organization, take those values and turn them into agreements. The values fit within an agreement. So that value is still integrity, but it's we stand or we work with integrity. You take it from passive and make it active.
And what, therefore, just to be explicit, are the key components in our working agreements?
Yeah, so we want to make sure that we have each agreement should go beyond one word and have a title. So it should have a bit of a description. And then you want to write about three sentences that describe exactly what you mean by the title in that agreement. And when folks are creating their agreements initially, we'll typically have them draw a visual or map out what that agreement means and then assign some stories to it. So yes, you'll have the title, you'll have a definition of what that agreement means, but we want folks to be able to visualize that. And we typically visualize things by our actions, right? So what is a story or what is a visual that would show this agreement in action?
Do you think, or have you ever seen an example of a team, so a subset of people, creating working agreements with values that they want to align themselves with, and it being seen as the guiding light for then the organization to learn how to adopt values and to learn how to create its own working agreements?
Yeah, Lisa, you hit on something really, really great there. And we talk about this all the time with culture design, which is that sometimes a smaller group can start, design that, and accelerate the change and movement within an organization. So a group of team members coming together, or a specific team, and designing working agreements and sharing those out, as well as the wins that they've had and successes, can be huge for an organization and provide the opportunity for leadership to help implement those.
Greta, what can happen when our values aren't aligned with those of our workplace?
Oh, bad things happen, Lisa. do you know, when we perceive, and I use that word very intentionally, when we perceive an incongruency between our values and the organisational values, it can lead to feelings of frustration, of dissatisfaction, and fundamentally with a sense of misalignment. And I think that's where we can start to feel a sense of exhaustion. There's really something to be said for the relationship between burnout and purpose. And I mean purpose with a small p, you know, not like a saving the world big P. So it really creates an environment which is challenging both for the individual and also for the organization. That's where you find that performance suffers, well-being suffers. I think a lot of the time, when there is that perceived misalignment between one's own values and the organisational values, it's because for the individual, they see other values showing up and kind of calling the shots in terms of expectations of how they need to be showing up as opposed to the values on the wall. And that creates a deep cynicism that absolutely undermines culture and performance.
And do our values change over time?
Yes, they do. They can change, and they can change. Do you know what? It's really a function of that needs component as well as the goals component, which can, you know, particularly change with life stage. So, for instance, if someone partners and commits for a long-term relationship, or particularly if someone has children, for instance, you know, those big monumental life-changing moments that can fundamentally change the prioritization based on our needs. Our needs change.
And Greta, what would your final message be to someone listening who's keen to identify and refine their values?
Get really clear on why. Like, what is the purpose of having values in your organization? And there are three primary reasons why organizations typically have values and use them. One is strategic, so around decision making and really focusing on a long-term view of what and why an organization might be doing. The second is around enabling, so enabling the workforce and really enabling the right people to connect with and become engaged in that organization, and recognizing that there has to be consistency and continuity between the message that you are projecting internally and externally. And finally, the third reason is tactical. So, you know, that guiding action, how we do things, so the expected behaviors piece. So getting really clear and quite systematic around the desired outcome of values in your workplace and allowing that to really guide the values identification and refinement process.
Thanks to my guests, Greta Bradman, psychologist and CEO founder of The Compass AI, and Lakeeta Williams, founder and CEO of Co-Create Work. I'm Lisa Leong. Thanks for listening to This Working Life. It's produced by Zoe Ferguson, mixed by Kerry Dell. Next time on This Working Life, workplace romances. Have you ever had a crush or something more with a colleague or even your boss?
Oh, sure. Many of us have. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're all human. We've all had these experiences. I mean, how common are they? Fairly common. Between about a third of people say that they're either currently in or they have been in the past. Sometimes the estimates are even higher. Over half have had a workplace relationship. So yes, it's fairly common.
And what would you say is behind this attraction to our coworkers?
Oh, it's basic social psychology, really. I mean, we are attracted to things that are familiar, people and things and events that we see every day, and certainly that is true in the workplace. We are attracted to people that are similar to us. So people that we work with, we're all in a similar industry. There's good evidence and research that people with certain personality types are attracted to certain professions. So the people that you work with are probably more similar to you than between you and a random stranger.
You go through life and, you know, like, it's hard to meet the ideal girl, blah, blah, blah. But because we're working in the same world, we have the same interests, the same universe, I knew immediately that, yes, I could talk to you about everything that I love, that we have all the same interests. It tipped from friendship into something more. Christmas party, end of 2018.
I would add it was the unofficial Christmas party,
yes,
though, because
Christmas parties.
I refused to be the cliche work Christmas party hookup.
Yes. It's sort of cliche adjacent.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we have a lot in common many times with the people that we work with, and that is a breeding ground for attraction.
Don't miss it. Make sure you're following This Working Life podcast to get the latest episodes. Find us on the ABC Listen app and hit the heart button. Oh, and if you missed our mini-series on your health at work, have a listen. Across 5 episodes, we talk about physical, mental, and emotional health at work. Go binge it. It'll do you good. This episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation and the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Until next time, work it, baby.
ABC Listen, podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.